tuned to yesterday, delivering shows from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Lavonier. Coming up in this hour, horror. Later on, from Suspense from 1962. But first, it's an episode of The Hermit's Cave called Fever. This syndicated broadcast from the mid-1940s.
The Mummers in the Little Theater of the Air.
Advertising of retail stores today and see for sale such long scarce items as thermostats and coal soakers. It's especially good if you've been able to get a supply of that good Olga coal. Call your friend, the Olga dealer, about the coming winter's coal supply. Ask for this good coal by name, spelled O-L-G-A. Ask again if he's out of it, because there's no fuel quite like coal. And no coal quite like Olga. Now, the Hermit.
Cold story. Weird story. Murder, too. The Hermit knows of them all. Turn out your lights. Turn them out. You heard the story, Fever? Then listen while the Hermit tells you the story.
What'd he say?
That you've got some kind of ailment that's going around.
Going around, eh? Contagious?
Well, I reckon. Now, it's nothing to get excited about.
Nothing to get excited about? You can talk. It's me that's got it. Burning up with fever one minute and freezing the next. I'm getting along. I can't stand to have no illness like this.
Getting all lathered up ain't going to help, now.
What did the doc say to do?
To take these pills you left and stay in bed till the fever breaks.
Where are the pills?
Right here in my hand.
Well, give them to me.
Can you take them without water?
Sure. No time to waste going downstairs for water.
Now lay back and see if you can sleep.
Sleep? I can't sleep.
Well, you can try, I reckon.
Can't nothing happen to me, you hear? Just can't nothing happen. All these years of searching, slaving for the farm to make it pay. All the years of saving. I can't die. I can't die and leave it. Theo, I want the strong box.
Yes.
Right away, I want it.
Stay covered up. I'll get it.
I ain't going to die. I can't die. Not and leave it all. Ain't nobody work for it but me. It's mine. All mine. The farm, the money, all mine. And I ain't going to leave it. Theo! Theo!
Oh, I'm coming as fast as I can.
My keys are on the chain in my pants pocket.
Here you are. You ought to stay covered up.
Oh, quit nagging, Theo. Just like your ma was, always nagging. What's that? Someone came in below stairs.
Elton, I suspect. Probably heard you was ailing.
Well, you can keep him out of here. I don't want that worthless son of mine in this room.
Don't worry, Paul. Soon's out and finds out you got something catching. He'll be a mile away from this room.
Well, you can tell him this for me. I ain't going to die. He don't need to push like a vulture below stairs waiting for the end. Ain't going to be none. You can go now, Theo. Ain't no use in your staring at this money. It's mine. And I'm going to hang on to it for a long time to come.
I wasn't even looking at it.
Get going at your work in the house. When I call next time, don't take so long to come upstairs.
I reckoned it was you, Elton.
Yeah? What's wrong with Pa?
Who told you he was sick?
I saw Doc Walker from on the street in town.
Didn't he tell you?
Well, if he had, I wouldn't be asking. He just said he was took down and that he'd been out here to see him.
Well, he's got something that's contagious. They don't know for sure what it is yet, but a lot of folks over in White Bluffs have died of it.
Yeah? You don't say.
Help me, Dominic. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Ah, Carter, don't play the sweet sister pious act with me. You know you wish he'd hit the dirt just as much as me.
It ain't true.
Has he got it bad?
Doc says he ain't any too good. He's got a weak heart, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you reckon I ought to go up and sit with him, son?
Ain't you afraid, Elton?
Yeah, that's right. I never thought. What's he doing up there to keep himself busy?
You might know. He's counting his money.
Got the strong box out, huh? Phil, how much you reckon he's got in that box?
I wouldn't be for knowing. Once I heard him say something about $10,000.
Well, it ain't gonna be bad. Big farm like this, well stocked, building ship shape, finest in farm implements, and $10,000. Maybe more. No, sir, it ain't gonna be too bad. Well, she's getting too good care, Theo.
You stop such talk.
I'll be getting back to town. Wouldn't do for two of us to come down with something fatal. Things get worse, you can call me at Sam's place, huh? Most likely be there playing cards.
Sure you will.
But don't call me unless things are worse now, you understand?
I understand, all right.
I'll just leave my dear sister to carry on. Oh, which reminds me. Pa never made any will, did he?
Not that I know of. He never expects to die.
Well, don't go putting any ideas in his noggin, little angel. Because if there's any dirty work at the crossroads, I might not be too kind about finding a place for my sweet, pious sister to live once this place is mine. Well, bye now. And take care, but not too good care. Catch on?
Place to live. To live. What living have I ever done? Fetching and caring for Pa and Elton since Ma died. Since I was 10. No time to play. No time to dream. Just work. And listening to Pa growl about expense. And Elton being shiftless. And all the time hoarding more money and counting it over. Money. I don't want money, except for a pretty dress. I want a time to dream, to walk these moors when the moon is calling, or when the wind sings like the sea, to climb those blue hills yonder, and maybe twine some wild roses in my hair. I ain't got nothing but wishes for beauty. There ain't no beauty here. There ain't none at all.
Awful bad. Get Doc and come quick. He's yelling and calling for Doc and he don't answer to his office. Get him quick and come.
You're going to find him. You're going to find Doc.
Elton, this word, Pa. He's coming soon as he can.
Where's Elton?
Standing outside the door here in the hall. Ain't no use for him to come in and catch the fever.
Yes, you want me, Pa.
No, I don't want you. Further away, the better. I don't believe he went for Doc.
Yes, Pa, he did.
I don't believe it. He wants me to die. He wants what I got, but he won't get it. Oh, nobody is. No, he can't take my rifle money from me.
Lie back, Pa.
I ain't going to die, Theo. I ain't going to die.
Of course you ain't.
I ain't going to gasp like your Ma did and then go out.
No, Pa.
You know something? You can't kill me. Nothing can kill me and take my farm and money. Because I'm going to have it always. Don't be fooled if I stop my breathing, because I'll come back. Come back to this very room. Ain't nobody to touch my money. For I'll come back. You hear that, Elton?
Yes, I hear.
Never touch the strong box. Because it's mine. Money's all mine. I'll never let it go. I'll never let it go. I'll be here in this room with Garden and watching it.
Bill, what's up?
Doc, better come quick. Call again, Elton.
Sure, I'll call.
My box! Money!
It's right beside you.
The key. The key to my box.
Here, Pa.
Lock it. Lock it tight.
It's locked, Pa. Lock tight.
The key. Put it in my hand. My hand.
Here.
So dark. Can't see.
You've got the key in your hand.
Never take it away. Leave it. Leave key in hand. I'll be back. Be back. It's mine. All mine.
Elton, ain't no use to get Doc. He's dead. Pa's dead.
I was looking for you, Theo. Where you been?
Down in the parlor.
Doing what?
Fixing Pa up a little bit.
Yeah. You mean you've been touching a dead man in his coffin?
Yes.
How could you do it?
Pa, ain't it?
You should stay away from him. It's catching what he had.
What good now to stay away when I've been caring for him?
There ain't going
to
be any funeral.
They're going to put Pa's coffin in front of the big parlor window. Hold a little service outdoors for the neighbors. Then the men are going to cover their faces and come in and carry him to the hearse.
When?
Tomorrow morning.
Oh. What you looking so white about?
Oh, being in there just now.
Well, why?
Seemed just like he sort of moved when I straightened his tie.
Stop such talk. He's dead in a doornail. Oh, which reminds me. What'd you do with the strong box?
Put it back where it belongs.
And the key, where's it?
I hid it.
Get it for me.
I can't. You heard what the judge from White Bluff said. Ain't nothing to be touched till the probate court has a list of everything.
Did you tell them about the strong box?
No.
And then they ain't going to know nothing about it. Because it's mine, see? I'm the oldest living relative in this family, and the money is mine.
No, Elton. There's expenses to be paid for the funeral and all.
Get me the key.
No. Let go of my arm.
I want the key, and I want it now.
Stop, Elton. You're hurting me.
Will you get me the key? I'm going to sit in Pa's room and count the money like he always did. I'm master of this house now. Now, you get the key, or I'll really choke you.
All right.
More like it. Go get it now. Maybe if you're a real good sister, I'll give you something out of the box for your trouble.
I don't want none of it.
Well, I do. After the farm's sold and I get all the money together, I'm getting away from here forever.
You can't sell the farm. I've no place to live. Besides, I got a share coming. We share and share alike.
Oh, is that so? Well, we'll see, Sister Pius. You just act like a lady and we'll see. I'm the man of the house now. If you play the game, I might throw a little something your way. Now, you get me the key to the strong box. $500, $600, $800, $815, $900. Oh, there's thousands here. Who's at that door? Theo, I'm telling you, get away from the door. Theo?
Mine. All mine.
Who's at that door? It's him. Him standing in the door.
Mine. My money.
You
You can't walk. You can't. You're dead.
My money.
Theo! Theo, come here! Theo!
What do you want?
You see
him? Who is?
Pa. He was standing right there in the doorway. I heard him speak.
Why isn't he shivering this hard? It's the fever that's coming.
No, it ain't no fever. I tell you, I saw him. Pa stood there in the doorway watching me count the money.
No, Elton. If Pa stood there, I'd have seen him, too. Pa lies downstairs in his coffin. Pa's dead.
See, I tell you, I saw him as plain as I see you.
Oh, come on, Elton. Get to your bed. You're tucked down just like Pa was.
No. Look, you said yourself this morning that Pa moved in his coffin.
I only thought it, Elton. Lots of times, things like this are so alive when you look at them. Come on, Elton. Get to your room. Let me cover you up good. You're trembling.
I gotta be sure he's dead and in his coffin.
He is, Elton. He is.
Well, you gotta go down to the parlor with me and make certain.
You got to listen to me, Elton. I'm afraid we're both choked just like Pa. I can feel the chills,
too. We gotta be sure. Gotta go down and look at him, Theo.
All right, Elton. We'll go down. We'll make sure he's dead.
Is it true that old man Dominic really walked the house in search of his money? Can it be that he's not really dead? What will the two discover when they go to the parlor and look at the dead man? The hermit will tell you before the night is done.
When the children in the Olga Cole communities of West Virginia returned to their schools this fall, they resumed the study of history. We, too, like those children in West Virginia, should resume our study of history. How much of what we once knew have we forgotten? Have we forgotten the words of the famous Virginian Patrick Henry? I have but one lamp by which my feet are guided, and that is the lamp of experience. I know of no way of judging of the future but by the past. One of the things we can learn from the history of the past is that many men who have been entrusted with public power have abused it. Free men always try, therefore, to prevent their government officials from becoming tyrants. The people in the United States tried to prevent the officials of the federal government from engaging in tyrannical acts by writing into the Constitution of the United States definite limitations on the powers of the government itself. The people knew, for example, that in the past, when governmental power passed into the hands of a tyrant, he would spy upon the people, invade the privacy of their homes or offices, pry into their personal papers and effects, seize their property, and imprison them without just cause. To guard against such tyrannical acts and to protect their personal freedom, the people in the United States provided in their Constitution that the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. And no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. The men and women in the Republic of the United States and the Dominion of Canada, where that good Olga Cole is sold, will retain the personal freedom they rightfully possess, only so long as they are ready and willing to defend it against any influence which would curb or do away with it. And now, back to the hermit.
It is a few minutes later. Elton and Theo creep down the stairs of the house. Slowly and with fear. Elton is shaking. Not only from fear, but with a fever that grips him. And Theo's eyes are bright, the cheeks flush. She, too, on the verge of the malady that has attacked them all. Now they have reached the foot of the stairs. They stand for a moment, hesitant as they reach the parlor door. Listen.
Open the door.
You can see nothing. The door's closed just as I left. He didn't come through this door.
He opened the door to his bedroom, didn't he? Didn't I hear it and see him standing there? Come on.
Candles are burning just like I left them. And he's lying there. I can see from here.
You gotta make sure. Go on. Move closer.
I can see him from here.
Gotta make sure.
All right, Elvis. Now look. Look upon him. You can see now. He's dead. He couldn't have moved.
Yeah. Sure.
Fever me to think it's on.
You can't move from here. You can't come after the money.
No, Elvin.
Well, I'm going upstairs and get the strong box and take it away from here. I'm getting out tonight.
No, Elvin. Not before service in the morning. You can't do that.
I'm getting out tonight. What's wrong? What is it?
I thought.
Stop trembling and tell me.
Look at him. Didn't you see?
What?
His hand. I thought it moved.
Oh, stop it. You can't scare me now. I'm going after the money.
It did move. It moved again just now when you said something about the money.
Great heavens. He ain't dead. He ain't dead at all. I told you I saw him in the room after the money. I'm going after it, and I'm going to take it away where you'll never find it. I'm going to get it now.
Help him come back. Elton, you can't leave me alone in the house with him. Elton! Oh. His hand moved again. I saw it. I saw it move. He reached out and touched the candle. Knocked him over. Elton, come back! Come back quick! He's knocked over the candle. The curtains. The curtains are all afire. Elton! Elton! The house is afire! Elton! 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 The house is on fire!
Or a stone left.
Never heard such a terrible thing. Man in his coffin burned to a crisp. Did he find the others?
They found Elton in the house, where there was what there was left of him. Beside him there was an open strong box. Folks say it must have been the box the old miser kept his money in.
And the girl Theo, did he find her?
Yep. They found her this morning. But she wasn't in the house.
Where?
She must have run out the house when the fire started. She let it out over the moors.
She's alive, then?
No. They found her dead, too. Doc Watford said she must have caught what her pa had. And exposure during the night killed her.
Poor kid. She was the only one in the family good for anything. The old man was a miser. Slave drover all these years, and Elton, he was a worthless pup. Well, sir, The whole fortune went up in smoke in one night. Nobody got the use of any of the old man's money. It's just like it went to its grave with him.
Yep. Like as not, he would be glad of it. I never knew anybody to have such a fever for money as he had.
Poor kid. The little Theo. Mighty pretty, too. She never got anything out of life. Not a thing that she ever wished for, I reckon. Doc Watford said the sound of lying at the foot of Old Pine Mountain. Funny thing. She just sort of picked out a nice place to fall and die. Her head was right up against an old wild rose bush that was in full bloom. And her face was buried in roses.
Money to the grave with him. The fever for money that filled the soul of his son brought about his death. Only Theo had a wish before she died, to cross the moors in the moonlight while the wind made music, and to have a wreath of roses twined in her hair. Yes, turn on your lights. Turn them on.
You have just listened to the 509th story by The Hermit, made possible through the courtesy of the Carter Coal Company, producer of Olga Coal, and your friend, the Olga dealer.
And The Hermit has more stories for you. Listen in again next week for my hounds howling. I'll tell you the story without end. I'll be back. Pleasant dreams.
All characters, places, and occurrences mentioned in The Hermit's Cave are fictitious, and similarity to persons, places, and occurrences is purely accidental. This is Ron Gamble speaking.
The Hermit's Cave on Tuned to Yesterday, a syndicated episode from the mid-1940s. This is an hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Straight ahead, an episode of Suspense, written by Lois Landauer, whose only other radio credit, at least on record, is for a broadcast of John Steele Adventurer that she wrote for an October 1949 broadcast, which featured screen star Eva Marie Saint, yet to play the role of Edie, and on the waterfront in 1954, but at the time, she was a series regular on the television show One Man's Family, which was a small-screen adaptation of one of radio's most enduring soap opera-style shows. This next episode of Suspense is called Run Faster, from August 5th, 1962.
And now, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense. In a moment, Act One of Run Faster, written especially for Suspense by Lois Landauer. Can have all the ingredients for happiness, still want things that are wrong for him. The whole time I was in the hospital after flying in Korea, I kept telling myself how wonderful it'd be when Chris and I got married. A little white house, simple, happy life. I got my discharge, and we had the house and the simple life. Too simple. The range station where I got a job was on a small emergency landing field.
So I was supposed to double on tower work for emergency landings. Only there weren't any. Bill, my relief man, and my brother Dink lived with us. Dink didn't know beans about flying, but he got the same charge I did just being around it. She was over at the field the night the big fog moved in. Chris was fixing a supper I took on the midnight shift.
You think two sandwiches will be enough?
Sure.
I'd better put in a piece of cake. You didn't eat much dinner.
No, sandwiches will be enough.
Well, I'll just put it in. You can't tell, you might get hungry.
The sandwiches are enough.
What's the matter, darling?
Nothing's the matter.
Is it the fog?
Well, what's the fog got to do with me?
I don't know. You just act so funny every time the weather's like this.
No, wait a minute.
What's the matter?
Hold it.
Just a plane, dear.
I thought he was in trouble for a minute.
Oh, Bill's on duty. He take care.
Yeah, Bill always gets him. But do I? I sit in that shack night after night, and what happens? Nothing.
Is that so important?
Important? You think I'm made of sawdust?
Married life getting you down, Dave.
Oh, for crying out.
I guess it must be pretty dull after Korea.
I didn't say that.
You're thinking it.
All right, so I like a little excitement once in a while. Is that so terrible?
No. I guess we're just different, that's all.
Well, it's not that.
What then?
You wouldn't understand. You weren't there.
Darling.
Well?
Maybe if you got away from planes.
Chris, I don't want to get away from planes.
That job is still open in Clinton.
No.
We could afford to build our own house in town if you took it.
What's wrong with this house?
Nothing, but we're so far away from everything.
What do you mean, far? Clinton's only 2 hours away, and there's Bill and Dink.
They should have young people.
You've still got a few years left, Grandma. Anyway, he likes it here. Look at all the time he spends over at the field.
Oh, honey, that brother of yours would like anything you did. You know that? If you'd get this flying bug out of your system, Dink would probably get over it, too.
I don't want to talk about
it. But it's true, Dave. Oh, I hate to keep harping on it.
Well, then don't. Are you about finished with those sandwiches?
You still have half an hour. Bill overslept this morning.
But he asked me to relieve him early. He has a big date in Clinton tonight.
Oh, Dave, that's not fair.
Well, what's the difference?
Well, of course it doesn't matter to Bill the hours he keeps. He has no wife waiting around at home. I think he's being very inconsiderate. This is the third time this month.
Look, I want to get over to the airport. Do you mind?
The thermos is on the sink. You can fill it. I just washed it. Oh, Dave!
All right. I broke it. Is that so tragic?
Oh, here it is.
Yeah, I know. If we lived in town, we could get one of the corner drugstores.
In town? You wouldn't have a job where you take midnight suppers.
Well, we're not in town. We're living where planes come in and go out. You understand? And if I have to bust a thermos bottle to get some excitement, I'll bust one every 5 minutes. How do you like that? Before I'd gone a dozen yards, our house was a shapeless blur behind me. And then it was gone. I thought of Chris alone back there, cut off from the world. I felt like a grade A heel for acting up like that. Well, Bill cut out as soon as I got to the shack. Dink's wheelchair was close to the radar panel as usual, but there wasn't a blip in sight as usual.
Something wrong?
No, it's the same old stuff.
Chris, huh?
Yeah.
Well, she's a woman, Dave.
I guess so.
Well, it's not so hot for her. Bill sure isn't any company for her when he's not on duty. He's either sleeping or out on a date. And with you sleeping days, it really isn't much of a deal for her out there. Especially with a cripple like me around to slow things up.
I'm nuts. I think I'll check Mercury. Midland Radio calling L.A. Mercury Airlines. This is Midland Radio. You there, Hank?
This is Mercury Airlines. You're on early, aren't you, Dave?
Yeah, Bill's giving the Clinton girls a break. Hey, what's with this thick stuff?
It hasn't hit out here yet, but we're expecting it. What's your ceiling?
Oh, about 400 feet. It's dropping fast, though.
Better watch it. Army fields west of you aren't landing anyone without 00 card.
Yeah? Well, maybe I'll have company.
Could be.
Indeed, someone's coming.
Well, I don't want anybody to have any tough flying, but it'd be good having a plane land here for a change.
Dave.
Now, hold it a minute, Hank. Kid brother's trying to say something. Oh, hi there. Can I do something for you, mister? Talk to you later, Hank.
Something wrong, Dink?
No, I'll call you back. Sort of took me by surprise. I didn't hear your car.
Wasn't none.
Were you running out of gas?
That's right.
Well, walking's no fun in that mess. Have a seat. My name's Dave Cawthon. This is my brother, Dink.
What's this place?
This is Midland Range Station, Dawson Field.
I didn't see no planes.
You wouldn't see planes here on a clear night.
No, we're just an emergency field.
Just you two, huh?
Oh, real cozy, just me and my...
You live here?
Here in the station? No, my place is about a mile down the road.
You're married?
Sure am. Dink here lives with us.
Yeah, we sail in that little white house tomorrow AM. There'll be the neatest stack of flapjacks waiting you ever saw.
You got any gas?
We sure have. We have a pump in the front yard.
That's your house, huh?
Have you got enough in your tank to get down the road a mile?
Well, I don't know. Maybe it ain't gas even, but don't move.
Uh-huh. Wait a second.
What are you doing?
What's that thing?
This is state phone book. I'll look for a number
what
here.
What for?
Clinton, Gables, Games, Garage. Here it is. Clinton 25...
What the... You gonna do, huh?
Well, calling a tow car for you. There's no need to walk all that way to the pump and back in this weather if there's something wrong with your car.
No.
Well, it may not even be as long as I said. They usually have called
Don't
out.
Call nobody, see?
There's no trouble. What was that number again? Let me see. Clinton Garage. Hey, what are you... Give me that. Come on, hey.
Hey,
what are you... Hey, don't... Hey.
Try using it.
Tartan, too.
Now, where's that pump at? Down the road a mile, huh?
Dave.
It's all right. Bill's there. Here's a can, mister. There's no need to ask at the house about using the pump. You just help yourself.
About a mile, huh?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
In the front yard.
Why should I lie to you?
All right. 1 mile. White house. Front yard.
Boy, a real sweetheart, huh?
Yeah. Hello. Hello.
Operator.
I was talking to my wife, operator. You cut us off.
No, sir, I didn't.
Well, look, will you ring her again, please? Hurry it up, please.
All right. Hang up and I'll call you back.
Oh.
I wouldn't worry, Dave. He was just a screwball.
Yeah. Come on, operator. Ring. Yeah, I wish there was some way I could get home now.
Well, if it was a clear night, I'd take a chance covering for you, but I don't know the first thing about radar, Dave.
Hello, Chris?
Operator, your line at home is out of order. We're working on it now, sir. The trouble is at this end.
Oh, that's swell. He's at the house with Chris. Well, how long will it take, operator?
I do not know. 5 minutes, an hour, maybe. Hard to say.
Oh, yeah. Well, will you get me Sheriff Grover?
Did something happen?
Operator, I'd like to speak to Sheriff Grover. Do you mind?
Me to keep trying?
Yes, please. I've got to warn Chris about that character. Each time I'd look at my watch, only seconds had passed. It seemed like hours. Something was happening. Hank didn't usually call me.
Mercury Airlines calling Midland Radio. You there, Dave?
This is Midland Radio. What's up, Hank?
I want to know if you've heard from our flight 535 out of L.A.
Negative. Why? Are they in trouble?
I don't know. They haven't reported in. Over an hour.
5:35 is not due over here. Think they're off course.
Can't say. They didn't report over Downsville or Little Falls.
Well, what's his altitude?
That's just it. We're not sure. He was cleared out of here at 8,000. But with the weather doing tricks out your way, he may have been trying to contact us for a change in his flight plan. Better stick close, boy. A lot of people in that thing. You reading me, Dave?
Oh, I'm not going anyplace.
You should have gone to Clinton with Bill. I hear they're having plenty of excitement over there. We heard some mental patient walked out of the big state hospital over there yesterday.
Hank, I've got a call that may be your 535 now.
I hope you're right,
calling
Dave.
Midland Radio.
I better catch it.
Mercury Airlines, flight 535, calling Midland Radio. Come in, Midland.
Aircraft calling Midland Radio. Repeat your identification, please. Go ahead.
535, Mercury Airlines. Do you read me, Midland? Go ahead.
Midland Radio to Mercury 535. L.A. has been looking for you, buddy. What's your problem?
Fuel,
535 from Midland. We're reporting present weather of 200 feet overcast, visibility half a mile dropping, altimeter setting 29.83, wind from the northwest at 5. Over.
Ouch. Report me in LA, will you? See you in 15 minutes. Over now.
Will do. Midland Radio calling LA.
LA Mercury Airlines. Hear anything, Dave?
Yep, just now, Hank. I'll bring him in here in about 13:30.
Good. Now, if you can just pick up that lost metal patient, we'll give you a merit badge.
Patient? Oh, yeah. There's no weather for a sick man. What's wrong with him?
His hands.
Hands?
Yeah. He's a strangler.
I sat there staring into the thick, muggy night. Chris might be alone with a killer, and I couldn't go to her because of an SOS I'd been waiting for all these months. Chris only a mile away. The heavy stuff outside seemed to crawl in the room as we waited. Not talking, just smoking and listening. I knew any minute the plane might call, but I wasn't thinking of planes now. I wanted that phone to ring. I had to know about Chris.
Yes, sir?
Operator, how about my phone? My phone, is it fixed yet?
I told you I'd let you know, sir.
Well, what about the sheriff?
The sheriff? Oh, yes, sir. The line's still busy.
Well, break in on him.
He's talking to Harry Waller. I can't just bust in.
Well, cut in on him, operator. It's important.
Well, all right, but he's going to be sore. Sheriff Grove?
Get off this line, operator. Can't you see I'm talking?
I'm very sorry, sir. I tried to tell him.
Sheriff, this is Dave Cawthon. I don't care
who this is. You ain't got no cause to be butting in.
Sheriff, I'm in trouble. I've got to have some help fast. There was a man here, Sheriff.
What about him?
Well, I think it's the strangler they're looking for.
Clinton, he there now?
No, that's just it. He's gone to the house and Chris is there alone.
How do you know he was a strangler?
Well, with the way he acted. And his hands. He tore my state telephone book in half.
Now, son, just cause a man strong enough to do that don't mean he's a criminal.
Well, he is the strangler, and my wife is alone. You've got to do something, Sheriff.
Okay. I'll take a run over there.
Oh, thanks a lot, Sheriff. Right away, huh?
Sure. But don't you worry now, son. I'll be there in half an hour.
Half an hour? That'll be too late.
Sonny, my old bus only goes so...
But, Sheriff, a half an hour, he could be there now.
Meantime, why don't you call Lon Miller?
Operator, would you get me Lon Miller?
But Mr. Miller's on your circuit, sir.
What are you talking about?
His line is out of order, the same as yours.
Mercury 535 calling Midland. Come in, Midland.
Midland to 535. Pull up. Pull up, 535. Execute missed approach immediately.
Mercury 535 to Midland. Low frequency radio is out. Unable to locate outer marker. Over.
535, pull up fast. Pull her up. Pull her up fast.
shack by a few feet. The open windows rattled and papers were wild all over the place. An airliner full of people hovering only a field's length from me. And Chris, a mile away. And suddenly, a blip showed up on the radar. He was close.
Mercury 535 calling Midland Radio. That was 1,500 feet. Ready for landing instructions. Fuel almost out. Over.
Midland to 535. Make a 90-degree turn to your right. Acknowledge.
535 to Midland. 90 degrees to the right. Roger. Over.
Midland to 535, we have a target at 5 miles southwest of the field. Take a heading of 040 degrees and remain at 1,500 feet. Over.
535 to Midland, holding at 1,500 feet. Over. 535, still with you. You'll have to take him by the hand, Daddy. Visibility zero. Over.
All right, 535, you're approaching now at 12.
Chris.
The guy's waiting, Dave.
It's into 12, approaching at...
535, calling Midland.
Wait.
535, calling Midland.
Lane, for Pete's sake, come on.
Hold the line, operator.
I
think you talk to him.
535 to Midland, request position. Where are you? Over.
Midland to 535, you're at 2 miles. Over.
Is she all right? Is Chris all right? Are you sure?
Midland, come in.
Midland to 535, you're 1 mile from touchdown. Over. Think, answer me. Is Chris okay?
Come on now, operator. Huh?
535, turn to a heading now to the left of 300 degrees. A left turn, 300 degrees, and descend to 800 feet. Over.
535, descending to 800 feet.
535, you are now at 1.5 miles. Expect to intercept the glide path in half a minute.
Let's go, Pappy. Keep talking. Over.
Sorry, Dave.
535, you are now 1/4 of a mile from touchdown. Set your flaps before intercepting the glide path. You're now approaching the glide path. Your heading should be 300 degrees. Adjust your rate of descent to 600 feet per minute. 535, you are now on the glide path. Glide path is very good. You're tracking on the center of the runway.
Here he comes.
You're on the center line. You're on the glide path. Approach is very good. 535. Touchdown in 3 seconds. Center line very good. Glide path very good. Continue approach.
We hard a little more, a little more.
You're on the glide path. You're on the glide path. You're on the ground. Take over visually. Over and out.
Give me that phone, Dick.
Operator. Operator.
Yes, sir.
Operator, what happened?
I told the other gentleman the whole thing, sir.
What?
And your phone has been fixed, but I can't get any answer.
Well, you must not have been trying. Did you try?
I've been trying, for pity's sake. Maybe your wife ain't there.
Are you crazy? Of course she's there. I couldn't see 5 feet in front of me, but I knew I was going to Chris, and I could have done that blindfolded. The blood was pumping in my head and pictures straight through the fog curtain. Chris with dark bruises on her throat. Chris with her mouth going slack. Chris. There was a light on. I saw it in the dim outline of the house, and then I was on the porch. Right through the door. She was standing with her back to me by the table and moving slowly around the end of it by the strangler. He had Chris's scarf in his hands. And that's all I saw as I rushed at him.
Daddy!
Oh,
no!
Give me that scarf!
Let me go!
It's all right.
Hold me tight. I'm so glad you got here. I don't know how much longer I could have held out.
You were fine.
I tried to be gentle. He liked the scarf, so I gave it to him. I don't know why I should have been afraid. He was just like a child. All he wanted was gentleness, and yet something about him. I was scared.
It's all right, baby.
Oh, darling. I wanted you here so much in the excitement, I forgot he could hurt you.
What did you say?
I said in the...
excitement. Yeah. I guess that's what it was, all right.
That's what you wanted. Wasn't it, Dave?
No, honey, that's what I thought I wanted. I'll call the hospital. Suspense. You've been listening to Run Faster, written especially for Suspense by Lois Landauer. Suspense is produced and directed by Fred Hendrickson. Heard in tonight's story were Jimmy Blaine, Jimsy Summers, Bill Lipton, Roger DeCoven, Bob Reddick, Ted Pavel, and Guy Repp. Music supervision by Ethel Huber. Sound patterns by Walter Otto. Technical direction by Fred Cusick. This is Stuart Metz speaking. Listen again next week when we return with The Silver Shoe, written by Robert Reddick. Another tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Suspense, on Tuned to Yesterday, a CBS broadcast from the 5th of August, 1962, bringing to a close this hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's golden era. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.